about Bhagavatam? Seventh Canto, Chapter 5, Text 13. Sa,
sa,
isha,
isha,
atma,
atma,
swa,
swa,
kara,
kara,
iti,
iti,
abuddhibhir,
abuddhibhir,
durapchaya,
durapchaya,
anukramano,
anukramano,
irupyate,
irupyate,
uvyanti,
uvyanti,
yad,
yad,
vartmani,
vartmani,
vedavadino,
vedavadino,
vampadayo,
vampadayo,
isha,
isha,
vinakti,
vinakti,
me,
me,
vatim,
vatim,
sa isha atma svapada, Svaparecha buddhibhir.
Svaparecha atma svaparecha buddhibhir.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Muhyanti advartmani vedavarino.
Muhyanti advartmani vedavarino.
Amhadayo vyesha vinatti menatim.
Amhadayo vyesha vinatti menatim.
Esha atma svaparecha buddhibhir.
Esha atma svaparecha buddhibhir.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Muhyanti advartmani vedavarino.
Muhyanti advartmani vedavarino.
Amhadayo vyesha vinatti me matim.
Amhadayo vyesha vinatti me matim.
Esha atma svaparecha buddhibhir.
Esha atma svaparecha buddhibhir.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Muhyanti advartmani vaidavadino.
Muhyanti advartmani vaidavadino.
Brahmadayo yesha vinatti me matim.
Brahmadayo yesha vinatti me matim.
Esha atma svaparecha buddhibhir.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Muhyanti
advartmani vedavadino.
Esha atma svaparecha buddhibhir.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Muhyanti advartmani vedavadino.
Muhyanti advartmani vedavadino.
Brahmadayo yesha vinatti me matim.
Brahmadayo yesha vinatti me matim.
Esha atma svaparecha buddhibhir.
Esha atma svaparecha buddhibhir.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Durachaya anukramano nirupyate.
Muhyanti advartmani vedavadino.
Muhyanti advartmani vedavadino.
Brahmadayo yesha vinatti me matim.
Brahmadayo yesha vinatti me matim. Esha atma svaparecha buddhibhir. Durachaya anukramano nirupyate. Muhyanti advartmani vedavadino. Brahmadayo yesha vinatti me matim. Esha atma svaparecha buddhibhir. Durachaya anukramano nirupyate. Muhyanti advartmani vedavadino. Brahmadayo yesha vinatti me matim.
Saha
saha
hi.
Yes.
Atma.
Atma.
Super soul.
Super soul.
Situated in everyone's heart.
Situated in everyone's heart.
Swapara.
Swapara.
This is my own business.
This is my own business.
And that is someone else's.
And that is someone else's.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Abhutipi.
Abhutipi.
By those who have such bad intelligence.
By those who have such bad intelligence.
Rakshaya.
Rakshaya.
Very difficult to follow.
Very difficult to follow.
Anukramana.
Anukramana.
Whose devotional service.
Whose devotional service.
Nirupyate.
Nirupyate.
Is ascertained.
Is ascertained.
By scriptures.
By scriptures.
Or by the instructions of the spiritual master.
Or by the instructions of the spiritual master.
Mu-yanti.
Mu-yanti.
Are bewildered.
Are bewildered.
Yant.
Yant.
Of whom?
Of whom?
Vartmani.
Vartmani.
On the path.
Veda-vādhinā.
The followers of Vedic instructions.
The followers of Vedic instructions.
Brahmārya.
Brahmārya.
The demigods.
The demigods.
Beginning from Lord Brahma.
Beginning from Lord Brahma.
He.
He.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Eshaha.
Eshaha.
This one.
This one.
Vinakti.
Vinakti.
Changes.
Changes.
Ne.
Ne.
Mai.
Mai.
Matim,
intelligence.
Persons who always think in terms of enemy and friend are unable to ascertain the super soul within themselves. Not to speak of them, even such exalted persons as Lord Brahma, who are fully conversant with the Vedic literature, are sometimes bewildered in following the principles of devotional service. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead who has created this situation has certainly given me the intelligence to take the side of your so-called enemy. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj admitted frankly, "My dear teachers, you wrongly think that Lord Vishnu is your enemy. But because he is favorable toward me, I understand that he is the friend of everyone. You may think that I have taken the side of your enemy, but factually, he has bestowed a great favor upon me."
Om Matyamati Nirantasya Vimandana Sarakaya Shakshurvinitam Jena Tasmai Shri Vave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kataram Maikam Tathati Svartamikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Tadakamanam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Jatam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Krishna Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Shahagana Vandita, Sri Vishakam Dittamishtra. Hey Krishna Varna Sasimhav, Dina Varnav Jagatmade, Gopesha Govinda Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta kanchan gaurangi radhe vrindana kishasi prashadhanu sehevi karamani honike vancha karokatatam yasya kripa sasya yaye vacha patijanam padane yo vaishnave yo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasisthana Gaura Bhaktavarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sa Esha Atma Svaparajya Pudibhir Tirachayanu Kurpano Dirupite, Ujanti Aparthani Devadi O Brahmani Yogesh Pinati Mayaka. Swaparecha Buddhibir. This is materialistic mentality. Swaparaditi. This is my business and that's your business. He's my friend and he's my enemy. This is materialistic mentality. Dividing up into friends and enemies. We categorize the world. Okay, he's my friend, he's my enemy, he's my friend. And we treat our friends well so that they'll stay our friends and do things for us. And we antagonize our enemies and keep them at bay, or smash them if we can. But it's all on the basis of mental concoction. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmanahu vijanatam atmaneva anupashyati sarvabhuteshu jatvam tatam vijugupshyati. The self-realized person sees Krishna within all living beings, and all living beings within Krishna. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmanah bhuta vijanata tatrako mahakasho paikatam anupashyati. He sees the oneness of all living entities. He doesn't see friends and enemies. Krishna is my friend, and everyone else is part and parcel of Krishna. He sees with that mentality. Otherwise, this friends and enemies business is simply the result of illusory energy. And especially in Kali Yuga, the governments of the world take advantage of this bewildered bad intelligence and manipulate. This is standard operating procedure. They're your enemies. They're your friends. These people bad, these people good. Attack bad people, defend good people. All by mental concoction. And we see practically that they switch around. The guys who were the good people became the bad people. The guys who were the bad people now they're the good people. You have to keep track, because according to government expediency, according to geopolitical advantage and military policy, and friends and enemies periodically switch. My allies become my enemies become my allies. And it's manipulated so that the people are told, well, these are the bad people, you have to watch out for them. Bad people, good people, they're practically the same people. Now the Middle Eastern, the Muslims in the Middle East, they're the bad people. They hate our freedom. They want to attack everything that we stand for. They're against democracy. They mistreat women. They don't have respect for ecology and whatever else we can throw at them. So they're bad. And since they're bad, we can send our armies over there and steal whatever they have, because it's in defense of democracy, and they're our enemies. And our friends, they're the guys who are going to help us swipe other people's property and use it for our own friends, enemies, friends, enemies, friends, enemies. But mental compassion. Daipe patra patra gyan, e malam dharma. E balo e manda e sabba. This is good, this is bad. This is also mental compassion. Daipe, in the material world of duality. Patra patra gyan. These people are good, those people are bad. These things are good, those things are bad. Shitoshna shukadukadam. There's no bad or good. What is it? There's nothing either bad or good, but thinking makes it so. So nothing either good or bad, like that. By our mentality, just like water, cold water, in summer we think it's very good, in winter we think it's very bad. It's the same water, but according to our circumstance, we think good or bad. So, Prahlad Maharaj is above all this. He's not thinking, these people are my friends, these people are my enemies. He didn't even think Hiranyakashipu was his enemy. He's seen Krishna everywhere. Seishatma. He's the super soul. He's within everyone's heart. Not that he's within the hearts of my friends and the devils in the hearts of my enemies. Krishna's in the heart of all living beings. Therefore, where's the question of friends or enemies? Maybe some people are bewildered by modes of passion and ignorance. They may be thinking that they're my enemies. But on the spiritual platform, there's no question of friends or enemies. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna is within everyone. Therefore, a person who's thinking in terms of friends and enemies is a buddhibi. Polite way of saying stupid. A buddhi. Not intelligent. That means stupid. Duratyaya anukramano nirupyate. Muhyanti yadvartmani ve. And this, these mistakes, misunderstandings, affect even the great followers of the Vedas. Muyanti yat suraya, even the demigods are bewildered sometimes by the illusory energy. Vedavada. Vedavada means the followers of Vedic literature, or so-called Veda followers. Vedavada partanami vasviti vada. Simply following the Vedic ceremonies doesn't guarantee, it's not the same. I'm following the Vedic ceremonies, I'm reading the texts, but it doesn't mean that I have pure consciousness. That's a different thing. People are very proud, I'm following the Vedas, I'm following the Quran, I'm following the Bible, I'm following this, I'm following that. I'm following the U.S. Constitution. They're very proud. But have they actually understood? The actual person who's actually understood the Vedas sees Krishna everywhere. He sees Krishna within all living beings. Not simply that he knows the books or that he follows the ceremonies. It's a question of consciousness. Therefore, avipaschita. What is that? Vedavadrita partanami vasthiti. It's for his kama, svarga, pura. Anyway, they're described as apaschita, inexperienced, childish, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham. Pravadanti Abhitashita. Those who are attracted by the flowery words of the Vedas. And if you do three of these, it's equal to 10 of those. If you do one of those, it's equal to 15 of these. If you do one of these on the full moon day, then you can achieve this. If you do four of these on the Ekadasi, you can go there. If you get do this, you can get that. Kamatma Svarvapara. Those who have material desires and want to go to the heavenly planets, because they've heard all about how divine it is there, what higher standard of enjoyment there is. They're described as avipaschas, childish. They don't actually know the purport of the Vedas. Vedas Vedaischa Sarvaira Hameda Veda. By all the Vedas, one has to understand Krishna. Otherwise, what is the use of all that Vedic study? So, Muyanti Yat Suriya, even the demigods become bewildered about these things. Brahmadiya, even Lord Brahma, we see that he sometimes becomes confused also. He thinks that Krishna is an ordinary boy who's entered by Brahmanda. And Indra also becomes bewildered. Who is this talking of child that these Brajbasis are listening to? In this way, Uyanti Yatsubhaya. So, Prahlad Maharaj, Mahajan, therefore, he actually understands the principles of religion. Because he understands Krishna. So, Mahajan, Ayena, Katasa, Bhakta, we have to follow the footsteps of the entities that Prahlad Maharaj. Any questions?
Thank you. Maharaj, you just mentioned the flowery words of the Vedas. We find we just have descriptions of Ekadashi. You do Ekadashi, you get these results. We have, for example, we read about the benefits of following Ekadashi, like you mentioned. But also we read in Bhagavatam sometimes. If you read this story, if you follow this particular personality, you will get this result. And often the results which you talked about are quite material. I mean, obviously, we talk about Bhagavatam, all 18,000 verses being for Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So how do we reconcile the two?
We talked about that, I think, the other day, that it's kind of like a sale offer. It's sometimes like a shoe store or something, a clothing store, but a sale, you know, 50% off. On whatever it is, or up to 50% off, which means like usually it's 2%, 5%, something might be 50%. Anyway, special sale offer. So why is that? They're attracting customers. Buy at our store. But those who are already customers, they'll buy at the store anyway. 50% off or no 50% off. They're regular customers. So the Shastras sometimes are interested in attracting new customers who may be interested in this kind of a deal. And if you chant this three times, your enemies will leave you alone, or you'll never be bitten by snakes, or whatever it might be. You'll be eligible to go to them. So the new customers are just, oh, yeah. So they may come to hear about Krishna. Otherwise, those who are already addicted to Krishna, they're already customers. They don't need these things dangled in front of them. They don't hear about Krishna anyway, because it's a great chapter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I read something that Krishna said somebody said, I have no enemies, but I make sure they're not my friends either. So,
were we reading that? Not Shastra. So non-Shastra.
And it was just something that where he felt that was what was necessary to protect himself. But it's one thing to say I don't want any enemies, but they can't entirely make can't be exactly your friend, right?
Yes.
We get mixed up in how to accord ourselves.
On the material platform, we also follow that policy. That no one's our enemy and no one's our friend also. Those who are bewildered by the material energy, they're not actually our friends. And they may be favorable sometimes, but we're a little careful that they're not exactly our friends, those who are attached to intoxication, gambling, eating, illicit sex. By comparison to our enemies, they may be our friends. But that's all the relative consideration. So from that point of view, we have no friends or enemies in the material world. Or from another point of view, everyone's our friend. Just we, what is it? They say keep your friends closer and your enemies closer. But we make no distinctions. We just keep everybody. We see everyone as being friends. Just we have to be a little careful with some of our friends in the material world. Friend is Krishna, and someone who brings us closer to Krishna is our real friend. Anyone who brings us closer to our real friend is also our friend, the best friend. Yes.
Raj, I was thinking that when you live and function within an institution, then it's inevitable that you get dragged into these conceptions of friends and enemy or allies and obstacles, because it seems as though you need to make distinctions in order to function and get things done. Like, diplomacy always comes in.
That's interesting. You get involved in an institution, then you naturally become influenced by conceptions of enemies and friends.
Yeah, like I was thinking, right, if you're away from, like if you're just in the forest or something, or away from everyone, away from a kind of social structure in that sense, then it's just easy to see everyone, you know, because they have nothing to do with you, they don't affect you. But when you live in a community as such.
Well, therefore, those who are, it's an interesting thought, because that's how friends and enemies work sometimes. But when I'm alone, it's easier to decide who my friends are going to be. But when I'm in a social group, then my friendships are part of a larger negotiation. You don't know if you're going to be friends with me, like at school. Well, if you're going to be, you can't be friends with her. If you're going to be friends with her, you can't be friends with us. Right?
Yeah.
Is that how it works? You're going to be friends with her, we're not going to be your friends anymore. Or, she's okay, but she's friends with such and such. And such is grippy. You know, so I don't know. It's something kind of like... In this way, people, they calculate. Kids learn early how to calculate. Who's up and who's down in the social register, and in terms of who's friends with whom, and who you want to ally yourself with. Political kids are in schools. Public schools and private schools are high fancy political activities. Schools, universities, corporations, labor unions, almost any social unit, political parties involve this kind of calculation. So one who's chanting Hare Krishna maybe want to be a little discriminating or critical of socially negotiated friendships and entities. That is to say, one may not be so quick to say, well, he's a friend of the institution, he's an enemy of the institution, and so he can be my friend, he can't be my friend. And you really have, there's no, you're not quite sure why, except that there's some sort of institutional requirement.
We never talked.
Excuse me?
We never talked to those people.
We never talked to those
people.
Yeah, if they call us up, we hang up. But it's the same sort of thing that goes on the national level. People are told that such and such people are their enemies, or they're portrayed as enemies, and everybody gets the idea that these people are enemies. Even, religious designations. I was speaking to one of our friends, one devotee, actually his wife's initiated, he's a very nice devotee also, and doing nice service. But he's on a jab about the Muslims, you know. The Muslims are like responsible for 3/4 of the ills of the world. And it's not evidentially based, it's just on the basis of a certain Hindu view of the world, by which the Muslims, you know, they grew up between towers, and they're breeding like crazy, and they're trying to take over this, and they're after that, and you know, whatever went wrong in the history of the last, in modern history, there's got to be a Muslim involved behind it all. You know, ever since Prophet Muhammad, the Muslims have been responsible, probably, if there's climate, what is it, global warming, probably the Muslims are behind that also. And yet we found that when our temple exploded in Leicester, the people who came forward to help were all the neighbors who were all Muslims. So the devotees took shelter in Fatima's beauty parlor. And the other, you know, all Muslim neighbors came forward to provide help and comfort for the devotees. Yeah, so there's a, you know, official or unofficial Hindu Muslims are like this kind of picture. But then there's another story. Or even like in America, you know, religious considerations aside, every one in the Middle East has got a dagger between, you know, under their burqa or under in their pants pocket, and they hate Americans, and you know, they're always thinking about how to bring down the United States and all this kind of stuff. And then you go there, what are people interested in? Good jobs, good schools for their kids, walking on the beach in the evening when it's cool. You know, they're not thinking about overturning the United States or standing tourists or, you know, it's madness. But these ideas spread like anything, and people are under, and it's costly. It's like you're not just talking about prejudice and how terrible it is, you're talking about millions of people getting killed. You're talking about defense budgets, you're talking about tanks running over people's homes, you're talking about serious business here. And it's on the basis of Swapada. These are my people, these are the other people. These are our friends, these are our enemies. So it's good to be critically minded and to question these things. You know, are they my friends? Are they my enemies? Why are they my friends or my enemies? Because I belong to the United States of America, or because I'm a registered whatever, or because I, you know, everybody else says. What exactly is the problem here? Are they really my enemies, or do we have a difference of opinion about something? Maybe we don't even have a difference of opinion. So, one is a little, what is it, self-intelligent. and Shastric intelligence. Does it say in Shastra that they're my enemies? Is it that they're declared? Is it a statement of Srimad Bhagavatam that these people are my enemies? What exactly is the issue? So it doesn't mean that one becomes. So we'll give you a little intelligence. Why are these people my enemies? I may disagree with that. I may have a completely different view of the world. And in a certain field, they may be my enemies. The mind bodies are our philosophical enemies. And we don't mix with them because we don't want to get the cooties, as they say in America. We don't want to get. Say that here too? No, it's American. You don't want to get dead bugs or contaminated by their association. So we may function in a certain, even like Kauravas and Pandavas, they're circumstantially enemies. But yet there's a higher vision, a higher platform by which there are no friends and enemies. So ultimately we want to come to that platform. Otherwise, functionally, we're advised that since we're not on that platform, we should see it this way, that there's the devotees, with whom I should be friendly. There's the demons, which you just avoid. Then there's the innocent, that I should help. I should become their friend. That functional distinction. Mahabhagavats, they don't even make that distinction. Everybody's good. Everyone's engaged in the service of Krishna. But that's not a platform we can fake. So we're advised to be on the second class platform. On the third class platform, I'm good, everyone else is bad. There's me and God, and everyone else can drop off the face of the earth. So we're advised in friendship with the devotees, leave the demons alone, help the non-devotees, the innocent persons.
Mm-hmm. How would you regard someone, for instance, who wanted to burn a religious book?
How would I regard persons who would like to burn religious books? Depends whether it's us or them. If it's us, we're very good. We need to do that. If it's them, burning religious books. Well, burning religious books. Of course, it's usually, unless people are like very cold and they need to, it's a symbolic aggressive act. It's a symbolic aggressive act. You're no good, so we're going to burn your book or your flag or your, whatever it is that stands for you. Maybe it'll burn you in effigy or whatever it is. So they're bewildered by the illusory energy they're thinking. And that my friends and enemies and symbolic stuff. They're not Mahabharatas. They're not Mahabharatas. They may burn other people's books, but their own books aren't that interesting. Our policy is rather than burn other people's books, we'll distribute our books. newspaper headline. I'm not quite sure what it's all about, actually. It's American, I think, right?
Gainesville.
Gainesville.
He was a pastor of a small flock of about 15. He was going to hold an international burning
call. International burning call. They decided not to do it ultimately. Well, this is, in that case, it's big time Maya, because they've been bewildered by mischievous and manipulative parties to believe that the followers of the Quran are the enemies who've crashed their towers and so on. The real story is something very different. But this is manipulation. Prabhupada summed it up. Call the dog a bad name. And hang him. You heard the expression? And it's a very typical tactic in warfare or in politics. You call them, you hang a label on a person and then essentially depersonalize him. Now he's no longer a human being. He's a group, or he's a Jap, or he's a Yid, or he's a this, or he's a that. And so you can do whatever you want, because it's no longer on a human level, it's on some symbolic level. Because he's an enemy, or he's a this, or he's a that. So, this is the sort of thing that Prahlad Maharaj is not appreciative of. Persons who are of demonic nature, really, who want to grab and exploit the resources of the material world, mobilize other people by symbol manipulation. Words are symbols. You put a symbol here, you put a symbol there, and you move the sentence around. And then you get people fired up so they want to burn a Quran, and then burn the person who's reading the Quran, and then burn the sympathizers of the people who are reading the Quran, and whatever else it is. And it reflects a undiscerning mentality. What is that? The Bhagavatam had said that the purpose of Bhagavatam is to distinguish truth from illusion, from right or wrong. The business of politicians is to confuse the difference, to conflate truth and illusion for the benefit of a few. But people become bewildered. They don't really know what is what. Its slogans and its pictures and its themes, you know, it's the motherland or the homeland or the our land. Motherland, fatherland, homeland, our land. All took a heart, all calling. So that we can act according to the desires of manipulating people and profit by at the expense of others. It's pretty nasty.
Just to extend again from Sutapa's point.
You've got to be louder. Fine line between toleration and management.
Of trying to do the right thing, being correct, correcting the motivation. Because it's a very tricky set of
circumstances. Yeah, well, actually, you have two things in your question. One of us was institutional membership, and the other was management, wasn't it? So I addressed one and not the other. Management also is good enough to see in terms of friends and enemies. But in terms of practicalities, it's not that a person who's acting in a certain way is my enemy, but his actions may be unhelpful for the what we have to accomplish. So it's not that we have to demonize the person or make him an enemy, but come to some sort of practical way of dealing, because we have to go right and he wants to pull left. Maybe not an enemy at all, but somehow or other he has either a way of acting or an idea or whatever it is. And that's slow us down and not enable us to get the job done in some way. It doesn't mean he's our enemy. Likewise, the leaders themselves, it goes the same way from the other side. And those who are the rank and file, or the outside observers, or it's not necessarily that because someone is sitting in the driver's seat, he must be our enemy, because he's making decisions that we disagree with. But he has responsibilities, he has to get a job done, and sometimes it means that our interest in our policy or whatever it is doesn't get the attention that we think it should, it doesn't get the thumbs up. It doesn't mean the guy's our enemy, but now we do that, you know. As soon as a person's like, we disagree with his policies, then he's a crook, he's ill-motivated, he's stupid, he's influenced by the Mayavadis or the Goliamant or the goblins or the Americans. There's divisions that way. You know, the Americans against the Indians, or the Westerners against the Indians, or the Americans against the Europeans, or this group. You know, divided up in friends and enemies, friends and enemies, friends and enemies. Losing sight of Krishna. That's the thing. We may have different points of view. In the spiritual world also, they disagree. It's not that everybody's of the same opinion in the spiritual world. There's disagreement in the spiritual world also. Because there's individuality. But no one forgets Krishna. When we get absorbed in friends and enemies and forget Krishna, then the whole thing is lost. Then Maya got us again. Otherwise, as long as we remember Krishna, then we can say, all right, this is this, this is this, this is this, this is this, this, is this, this should go here, this should go there. As long as this is here, we can't do anything there because it's not possible, so we have to go here. Whatever it is, management. But we're thinking of Krishna. Not that in order to somehow or other function, we have to descend to the platform of symbolic manipulation and friends and enemies and all of that stuff. And then get other people, you know, into the friends and enemies mentality so that we'll win. You lose because now, you know, you're also on the platform of duality. You're meant for going beyond duality, but you came down to the duality platform and you're stuck there. So if one can get the art, stay on the spiritual platform. Remember Krishna. See everything in relationship to Krishna. And then you'll never be bewildered. You'll never have to lament. But you'll be able to act. All right, this is this, this is this, this is this, this is this.
Maharaj, thank you very much for a very thoughtful topic. I was just wondering what would be the best thing, maybe from Prabhupada's example, for us to do to keep spiritual organization clear from politics, which are very detrimental.
What is the best thing for keeping a spiritual organization free from politics? Change my question.
Well, we do that, but somehow it's not, it doesn't look like
it. Do it more. Yeah, that was Prabhupada's formula for keeping the institution, you know, reasonably free from politics. Chant Hare Krishna, get up early in the morning, attend the regular programs, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Everybody, leaders, followers, chant, dance, and take prasad. That's how you do it. That was Prabhupada's formula. When we slack off on hearing and chanting, become all management, and management goes down. Prabhupada says, see that everyone is following regulative principles, then management is at your fingertips. And everyone's getting up early in the morning, everyone's chanting, everyone's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, everybody's a devotee, so then everything's easy for your management. And people aren't attending, people aren't hearing, people aren't chanting, you're not hearing, you're not chanting, you're not reading. Where's the management going to be? It's all going to be right here. So Prabhupada gave that as the key. Chant Hare Krishna. Pretty simple.
Well, you can see that, you know, people start off with that, then they get bogged down by politics and they lose interest in chanting.
Well, that's what happens. We start off and then we get bogged down. So you have to start off and keep going. That's the, of course, that's easily said, but that's what you have to do. Start off chanting Hare Krishna, and then not stop chanting Hare Krishna. It's when we stop, that's when the problem comes.
I was just thinking, what about the point when Prabhupada was insisting that devotees have to be open in terms of discussing any issues, and not to discuss anything behind people's backs, you know, like...
People have to be open about any issue and not discuss anything behind people's backs. That's a little bit of an extreme position. Now, there is, it's true, you know, I don't just talk about people behind their backs and fish, as Prabhupada said. But it's not that nothing can be discussed in confidence either. It's not that if I close the door and have a confidential conversation with you and it happens to touch on someone, then, you know, I just committed a sin because I talked about someone behind their back. Yeah, there is room for segregated discussion. You know, that the appropriate people talk about the appropriate things, and it shouldn't degrade into just bad-mouthing someone needlessly. But it's not that two people can't talk about a third person without violating the Magna Carta and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So,
I just heard that if two devotees would have problems with each other, Prabhupada would never discuss a problem with someone without inviting the other person to participate in that discussion.
I don't know if that's true. And this starts to be like, seven principles of whatever it is, and, you know, management books, how to manage, and, you know, don't do this unless you do that, and don't do this unless, and then it becomes Prabhupada always did, but I never, I don't know if I would say that, but Prabhupada would never, you know, it would always call in the person. No. I can think of one particularly colorful incident, and the things were being brought to Prabhupada's attention, and Prabhupada spoke to a small group of leaders and said, go see. He didn't say call the man in. He said, go see and give me the report. And just an example that, you know, the Prabhupada never accepted unless he, that isn't necessarily the example that falsifies the generalization. Probably problems with the user say, go see. Give me the report. Now, as a general principle, is it good management? As far as I understand, it's good management. You don't talk about your people behind their back. You call them the relevant person and say, you know, now can we sort this out? That's very good management. But it's not that because it's good management, it must have been what Prabhupada did, or that it's because it's good management, it's always good management. It's a good little exaggeration in terms of what's good. now that I think about it, probably could say all sorts of things about it, like any of his disciples in any circumstance. Right? Why he was doing this? He is rascal. Didn't call the man, and the man could be on the other side of the world. He probably might say, why he is doing this? It is simply nonsense. But then the next day he could say, he was a very good boy, he was working, he was, and so Prabhupada had privileges. We can't imitate.
Maharaj, you spoke about spiritual disagreements, spiritual.
In fact, I think just thinking of one of our, my production manager when I was at the BBT, he is dangerous. Yeah, he was in Los Angeles, probably was in Vrindavan. He is dangerous. Yeah, probably could say this. And the man wanted to quit because he heard the problem.
He's dangerous.
Yeah, and some of the things. So then the report came and such and such wants to quit. Prabhupada said, how can he quit? What else will he do? He has to do this job. What else will he do? Oh, don't quit. But Prabhupada had the prerogative, he could speak cunningly about it. Anyway. Good for us. That you can do when all of your people love you. That's another principle of management. First, get all of your people to love you, and then you can do what you want.
That is what people are attempting to do, but it turns out to be a little bit misguided, but manipulative. That is what people are intending to do, get people to have followers and manipulate the situation.
Yeah, we want people to. Yeah, but the real thing is not just to somehow or other move things around in such a way that we get people to love us, but if we actually try to follow our spiritual master and actually try to follow Krishna's instructions, then people automatically will love you. It's not that you need to sort of. Listen, are you on the love me or hate me side? If you're on the hate me side, get out. If you're on the love me side, you can stay. In fact, you can be promoted. And that way you get everybody to love you. That's not the idea. But what is that? Krishna says that the person who's Krishna conscious, he is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. And just be, again, chant Hare Krishna. I mean, just like our Indra Prabhu. He was dear to everyone. Even if there were some disagreements, this or that. But the whole world appreciated what? Because chanting Hare Krishna. You know, what was he doing? And what else was he doing? Chanting Hare Krishna. And whatever, this, that, nothing else really counted, ultimately. Because his whole, just his main business is chanting Hare Krishna. Even if you disagree with him, say, well, you know, he's chanting Hare Krishna all the time. What can you say? So, and devotees all over the world. Because he's chanting Hare Krishna and serving Krishna. So, serve Radha and Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. You'll never be entangled. Sarva Bhutatma Bhute. You'll be dear to everyone, everyone will be dear to you. And even while managing, you'll not be entangled. You're going to be entangled. Thank you.
Jai 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 Jai
Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai Jai